Let me invite you to turn in God's Word, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We are going to depart somewhat from where we've been in Ephesians chapter 3. And given the season that we're in with Thanksgiving, just seemed appropriate to speak directly to this matter of giving thanks, just to be reminded and encouraged and instructed for all of us of the centrality of this in God's purposes for us as His people. So I want to direct your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, and particularly verse 20. And as we typically do, want to say a few words to the children that are here among us before some of them will be dismissed, just to help give some focus to where we're looking at this morning and what the focus of the sermon is. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. If you're using one of the Bibles in the seats in front of you there, it is page 978. Page 978. And listen to this statement, and I'm just going to read right now verse 20. In a few moments, we'll read a bit bigger part of the context. But verse 20, Paul says, "Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth that is crystal clear from this passage, many other places we find in Scripture, is that God deserves all of our thanks all of the time. God deserves all of our thanks all of the time. And children, if you're using one of those little handouts that are there in the seats in front of you, that's the big idea, that God deserves all of our thanks all of the time. We are to continually be giving thanks. And Paul makes that very clear. God makes that very clear through Paul when he says, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Our entire life is to be a life of thanksgiving, overflowing, as it were, with gratitude. In light of God's mercies, in light of God's grace, in light of God's kindness and care and provision in rescuing us from eternal destruction and from His judgment. Now, I just want to encourage children, and some of you may have already thought of this, and of course, this would be a great exercise for adults as well, but children, I would encourage you sometime today to sit down and to try to list out at least 10 specific things you have to be thankful for. Now, my guess is that if you do this, you'll probably come up with more than 10, but I'd encourage you to do that and then maybe talk about it as a family. And again, maybe you've already done this week in light of it being Thanksgiving and all, but it's a good habit. It's a good exercise to do from time to time. And so I want to encourage you to do that and to think specifically about at least 10 things that you have to be thankful for. And again, then maybe talk as a family about those things and share those things with one another, just as a good way of learning to be thankful and cultivating that, to not take things for granted. So with having said that, we want to go ahead and dismiss the children who are going to go. They're welcome to remain in here for families that desire, but also have some classes for them in our building across the driveway as the little pitter-patter of feet commences. What a wonderful sound it is. And those who will be teaching God's Word to them. Well, for the rest, I do want to go ahead and read verses 15 through 21, which really encompasses the immediate context of this statement that we find in verse 20. And even as I read this, you'll see that giving thanks is one of the fruits of the Spirit, of being filled with the Spirit of God, yielding to the control of God's Spirit and submitting to God and to His Spirit. One of the evidences of that, one of the fruits of that, is giving thanks along with other things as well. But let me read beginning in verse 15 and then on through verse 21 of Ephesians 5. And then I'll lead us in prayer again as we ask for the Lord's help. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let me lead us in prayer again as we ask the Lord's help. Lord, you have told us that your word is eternal and that it is true and that you accomplish your purposes through your word to bring to salvation those who don't know you, to build and strengthen and further equip those that you have brought to faith. Indeed, it is in your word and through your word that your spirit works to give life and to shape and to mold that life that you give. And so we pray and ask that you would do so even this morning for each one of us as you've designed for us to be here to hear the things that you would have us to hear. And we pray that you would help us to respond in faith and obedience with joy and with gratitude in light of who you are, in light of the greatness of your mercies in the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust that you will do this for your glory in him. Amen. Amen. Well, this matter of thankfulness is something that we're very familiar with. And of course, in our own country on an annual basis, this is drawn to our consciousness all the more fully. But if you've been around the Bible for any amount of time, you know and you understand that thankfulness and giving thanks is something that is to be continual. And it's important, even as we begin to think about this a little bit this morning, to recognize and be reminded that the concept of thankfulness, the concept of being grateful, it isn't just a nice idea that, of course, sells a lot of greeting cards. There's nothing inherently wrong with that, but it's much more than that. The reality is, as we see in Scripture, and as we're going to look at a number of passages this morning, is that whether or not we're a genuinely thankful person, and a genuinely thankful person to God in Jesus Christ, whether or not we are such a thankful person, is really a clear indicator of our spiritual condition before God. And so it's a very significant matter. In fact, a life of unthankfulness, a life of ingratitude, is at the very core of being alienated from God and under His wrath. Now, we're going to be focusing the things we're looking at this morning in Ephesians chapter 5, but we are going to look at a number of other passages as we consider this matter. And so I'd like to direct your attention to Romans chapter 1, back a few books before the book of Ephesians. And in Romans chapter 1, as Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is beginning to unfold the glory of the righteousness of God provided through faith in Jesus Christ, the first matter that he gives attention to in chapters 1, 2, and 3 are establishing the reality that every human being outside of Jesus Christ is under God's wrath and accountable to the God who has created them. But I want you to see, I want to read verses 18 to 23 in Romans 1 and see how unthankfulness, ingratitude towards God is at the very core of the essence of sin and the essence of that which brings about God's wrath. And so we read in verse 18 of Romans 1, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." And so you see, even in what he says in verse 21, although they knew God on the basis of what God had revealed of himself, even in creation, every human being knows and understands that there is a God to be worshipped and a God to be thanked. And yet the very essence of sin is to not honor that God and to not thank that God with the thanks that is due his name. And so this matter of gratitude and thankfulness is fundamental to our relationship with God. And again, ingratitude, unthankfulness, is the most basic expression of rebellion against God. a disregard for who he is and a dishonoring of who he is. And sadly, even for believers, even those that the Lord has brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how easily we can be given to taking his mercies for granted and taking his grace for granted. We can easily be like those 10 lepers that Jesus healed, as it's recorded in Luke chapter 17, that 9 of them never came back to Christ to say thank you. And we can easily be like that, taking for granted his mercies. But if ingratitude and unthankfulness is at the foundation of sin and rebellion against God, then the opposite of that is also true. Namely, that the most fundamental evidence of being born of God and controlled by his Spirit, submitted to him, one of the most fundamental evidences of that is this matter of thankfulness. Being profoundly thankful that he has shown mercy to sinners like us who are well deserving of his wrath, and yet in Christ and for his glory and for our eternal good, he has forgiven our sin and adopted us as his children and made us his own. Let me just give you a definition of thankfulness as we'll come back to Ephesians 5 and begin to unpack this statement a little bit more in verse 20. But let me give you a definition for thankfulness. We could understand it as acknowledging, appreciating, and submitting to God as the source and giver of all things. Thankfulness is acknowledging, appreciating, and submitting to God as the source and the giver of all things. Thankfulness, of course, is a grateful response to the God who has loved and blessed us in Christ. To the God who has loved and blessed us in Christ. Gratitude, thankfulness, makes much of God because it acknowledges that God is the author of all that is good and that God is the giver of all of his gifts. And gratitude to him is ultimately acknowledging that while we enjoy and appreciate the gifts, we love and adore and submit to and want to honor the giver of those gifts. So as we come back to Ephesians 5, verse 20, and we'll talk a little bit more about the context as I move through things this morning, but I just want to highlight what we see here as 5 characteristics of a God-glorifying life. Or 5 characteristics of a thankful life. What does it look like to live a thankful life? With what we find in Ephesians 5, verse 20, we see 5 characteristics. And I'll mention these, then we'll move through them one by one. So if you don't get them as I mention them, don't worry, we'll come back to these. But 5 characteristics of a thankful life. Number 1, if you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks is ultimately a command. That giving thanks is a command. Number 2, if you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks is to be constant. That's the second characteristic, that it's to be constant. Number 3, if you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks is to be comprehensive. It's a command, it's to be constant, and it is comprehensive. Number 4, if you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks is Christ-centered. It's centered on Christ. It's Christ-centered. And then number 5, if you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks must be cultivated. That giving thanks must be cultivated. So those are the 5 characteristics that we want to just think a little bit more fully about as we see them unfold in Ephesians 5, verse 20. That we understand giving thanks is a command. It's to be constant. It's comprehensive. It's Christ-centered. And it must be cultivated. So let's look at the first of these, that if you're living a thankful life, if your life is characterized by thankfulness, it means that you understand that giving thanks is a command, that it is a command. Now in Ephesians 5, verse 20, the form of the verb here in verse 20, giving thanks, is a participle. And as I alluded to earlier, it's describing part of the means and part of the evidences of being filled with God's Spirit, which is the primary central command in this particular portion, as Paul expresses that in verse 18. to not be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit, which is to say, be under the control of the Spirit of God. As God has revealed himself through his Spirit in his Word, and as his Spirit indwells us, as Paul has alluded to earlier in his letter to the Ephesians, that believers are sealed with God's Spirit, that we are to continually submit to his Spirit and be under the control of his Spirit, which is deeply connected with understanding and obeying his Word as well. And as we do that, and part of the means by which we do that, we're to be singing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the basis and the reason for why we sing together corporately when we gather, even as we've done this morning. But permeating all of that also is to be this matter of giving thanks. And so the command to give thanks is more implied with this statement in verse 20, but it's also corroborated with many other statements we find throughout God's Word regarding the importance, the centrality, the necessity of giving thanks. And so it is something that is commanded. Now, there's a sense in which if we've been saved by God, if we've come to new life through faith in Christ, if we've experienced the joy and the cleansing of our conscience of having our sins forgiven and being reconciled to God, there's a sense in which thankfulness is a natural impulse. You know, if you were in a dire physical situation, if your life was being threatened and somebody rescued you from that threat, you would impulsively be thankful. And so there's a sense with believers that giving thanks is a natural impulse. But at the same time, the very fact that there are many commandments, many exhortations, many examples of thankfulness in Scripture indicates that it's something that we need to understand as a command that we need to obey. And that it's not so much a matter of feeling as much as it is a matter of obedience to cultivate this matter of giving thanks. I want you to see a number of other passages that speak to this very clearly. If you go over to Philippians chapter 4, just the next book over beyond Ephesians, in verses 4 through 7, as Paul is giving exhortations regarding rejoicing in the Lord and seeking him in prayer, thankfulness is bound up within this. So he says in verse 4 of Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, there's a specific command, again, bound up within rejoicing in the Lord and not being anxious about anything, but seeking him in prayer. This matter of gratitude and giving thanks is to be central to that, that we never lose sight of the mercies and the blessings that God has given us in Christ. Another place that is very, very clear in this regard, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, beloved, if this is a command for us to give thanks, then for us not to give thanks is a matter of sin. It's a matter of disobedience against God. Jerry Bridges, in his excellent book entitled Respectable Sins, identifies one of those respectable sins as ungratefulness. Unthankfulness. And he identifies these as respectable sins, not to say that they're okay sins to commit, but rather to say that they are sins that we often kind of take for granted. We don't think of them as inherently gross or evil. And yet, even as we saw in Romans chapter 1, what could be more evil than not honoring God for who he is and not giving thanks for who he is and all that he has given. And so this matter of thankfulness is massively significant. And the first important characteristic for us to embrace is that it is a command. Now, not only do we see many positive commands, and we could go to the book of Psalms, even as Matt read earlier from Psalm 136, or as I read at the beginning of the service, Psalm 105. We could look at many other Psalms and many other passages, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that positively exhort us to be thankful. But hand in hand with the positive exhortations are also negative warnings about the dangers of not giving thanks, and the many other things that we can be given to rather than thanksgiving, namely boasting and grumbling and murmuring and criticizing and complaining and all kinds of anger and strife and jealousy and discontentedness and on down the line. So many of these things find their root in ungratefulness to God. It's amazing. We won't take time to go there, but in the Old Testament, and many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the history of God's dealings with His people and His people's responses to Him. One of the places we see this dramatically with His people frequently given to complaining and grumbling and murmuring is in Exodus chapter 15. Right after God has miraculously, powerfully delivered His people out of bondage in Egypt, and He's miraculously, powerfully destroyed Pharaoh and all of his armies, and the earlier part of Exodus chapter 15 recounts Moses' song of praise and thanksgiving to God for His wonderful work. But then as the people are now out in the wilderness and they're being led by God, they face obstacles. And immediately, towards the end of chapter 15, they begin to complain against Moses, which is ultimately complaining against God and murmuring against God. And sadly, that permeated their existence to such an extent that by the time we get to the book of Numbers and learn more of these people and their disposition towards God, their grumbling is so persistent that God eventually brings discipline upon them. And this is why they ended up wandering in the wilderness for some 40 years so that that original generation of adults that came out of Egypt could die as an expression of God's discipline for their unthankfulness and for their ingratitude and the unbelief that ultimately was a part of all of that ingratitude. God brought discipline upon them. And so this matter of thankfulness is a very vital command. Not only the positive command to be thankful, but the negative warnings to not be grumbling, not be complaining. Paul speaks of that in Philippians 2, and there's other places we could see it. And again, even as we see it evidenced in the life of God's people in the Old Covenant, of Israel in the Old Covenant. So the first characteristic of thankfulness is to understand and embrace it's a command. It's not a feeling, it's not a mood, it's a commandment that we're to be actively responsive to, consciously responsive to in giving thanks. Second characteristic that we see, back to Ephesians 5, verse 20, is that if you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks is to be constant. It's to be constant, not just once a year, not just once a week, not just once a day, but constant. And this, of course, comes out of a very clear statement in verse 20 when he says, giving thanks always, giving thanks always. And again, this could not be clearer and easier to understand. I like John MacArthur's insights on this matter of constant, continual thanksgiving. He says this, quote, "To be thankful always is to recognize God's control of our lives in every detail as He seeks to conform us to the image of His Son. To be thankless is to disregard God's control, Christ's lordship, and the Holy Spirit's filling. Nothing must grieve the Holy Spirit so much as the believer who does not give thanks." And so we are to always be thankful. Always thankful to God for who He is, for what He has given in Christ, for what He has revealed of Himself in His Word, for all of His purposes, for all of His attributes, for all that we know of Him in accordance with all that He's revealed. There is never an occasion that we're not to give thanks. Regardless of what our circumstances are, whether they're favorable from our perspective, whether they're difficult and undesirable from our perspective, God yet calls us as a function of faith and submission to His control and submission to His wisdom to give thanks to Him. Paul certainly exemplified this even as he's writing this letter from prison. And we know from all of God's word, from the book of Acts and elsewhere through Paul's letter, many of the things that he suffered that we can't even begin to imagine the kinds of things he suffered. And yet Paul was a profoundly thankful man. Why? Because he understood he'd been delivered from the wrath of God. And if you lay hold of that truth, and if you ever come back to the fullness of God's holy love displayed at the cross and what he accomplished in and through Christ at the cross, as Christ bore his wrath in the place of all who would trust him, and as the perfect obedience, the perfect righteousness of Christ is then credited to those who trust him, what fuller display of his love could there be? And to be thankful always is to trust in and rejoice in that holy love that has purchased you through the blood of Christ. And so it's to be constant. And this is why, as a matter, and we'll talk more about this when we talk about this as something to be cultivated, but that's why morning, noon, and night, throughout the day, just constantly and consciously cultivating a disposition of being thankful, regardless of what the circumstances are, thanking God for who he is and what he's done, thanking him for spiritual blessings, thanking him for physical blessings, thanking him for his providence and for his wisdom, but constantly being thankful. And what a response that is. If our lives are consumed with thankfulness, all of a sudden sin becomes much less desirable, because a heart filled with thankfulness just pushes out every other thing that could potentially fill that heart. And so we're to constantly be thankful. Very much related to that is the third characteristic that we see, namely, that if you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks is to be comprehensive. Not only is it a command, not only is it to be constant, but it is to be comprehensive. And so Paul says, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for everything. There is nothing that we are not to give thanks for. And what a cornucopia, if you will, of blessings that God has given to us. Spiritual blessings, physical blessings, relational blessings, providential blessings. Even in trials, even in grief, even in hardship, the assurance and the confidence and the comfort that God is working everything after the counsel of his will, and that God is working everything together for good to those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Now, you know, in the book of Ephesians, and for those of you who have been here for some time, as we've been spending a lot of time in the early chapters of Ephesians, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul is just beside himself with praise and worship and joy and adoration as he's recounting the greatness and the riches of the blessings in Christ that God has lavished on his people. And certainly that should be at the very foundation of what we give thanks for. These are not just things that we receive and then we kind of move on. These are things that we receive and that we live in. We've been given these blessings. We've been given this inheritance. We've been given these riches in Christ. And so all of the things that he talks about in chapters 1, 2, and 3, all against the backdrop of the reality that before God brought us to faith in him, we were dead in our sins. We were under his wrath. We were without any hope at all. And yet in his love and in his mercy and in accordance with his sovereign plan, God has lavished his mercy upon us in Christ. And that's why that speaks to our identity. It speaks to our inheritance. And all of those things are things that we should continually be reflecting upon and thanking God for. Let me just give you an example of how this would work out, or how you might approach this in terms of cultivating this. If you look back to Ephesians chapter 1 and thinking about this in terms of cultivating thankfulness and being comprehensive in our thankfulness, you look at verse 3 in Ephesians chapter 1 and you read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Now that statement in and of itself, a cause for thanksgiving. So you say, Father, thank you that you have blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. And then he goes on to unpack the nature of those blessings. Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Oh, Father, thank you that for your purposes and for your glory, you chose me to be one of your own from before the foundation of the world, from before you created anything. Thank you that you chose me. He goes on to say that we should be holy and blameless before him. Thank you that though I am sinful and though I'm so easily tempted and drawn to sin, that your design for me is to be holy and to be blameless. And you've provided for that holiness and that blameless through the work of the blamelessness, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit, that you have destined me for this. And you could just go on down the line, but turn all of those statements into statements of thanksgiving, to cultivate a sense of thanking God for his blessings. And when Paul says everything, that's exactly what he means. Everything. Spiritual blessings. Temporal blessings. All of the things that we have to be thankful for. My guess is that most of us ate food this morning. Are you thankful for that food that you ate? Even as it's cold outside, we've experienced warmth. You're sitting in comfortable chairs. You're in a building that's warm and there's other people around. I mean, there's so many things for us to be thankful for. And all of the kindnesses, all of the blessings, all of the over and above kindnesses that the Lord gives to us and the things that he does for us in big ways and in little ways. The question isn't whether or not God blesses and whether or not God is showing kindness. The question becomes, do we see it? Do we perceive it? And do we give thanks for it in big ways and in little ways? Thankful for his care. Even the beauty that we see around us, and with the rain that we had in the beginning of the week, and all of the fall colors seem to be at their height right now, and just enjoying that, that's a cause for giving thanks to the Lord. And we honor him by enjoying what he gives and giving thanks to him as we enjoy what he gives. And so giving thanks is to be comprehensive. And again, I encourage the children to list out maybe 10 different things. My guess is that if we took time, we could, within 20 or 30 minutes, come up with 100 different things to be thankful for in all of the different categories that we could think of God's care and God's provision and God's faithfulness over and over and over again. And so this commandment is to be constant and it is to be comprehensive. And then notice, fourth of all, the fourth characteristic that we see. If you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks is distinctively Christ-centered. Distinctively Christ-centered. So Paul says, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's interesting that even within this passage and the earlier portion that we read in verse 18 regarding being filled with the Spirit, you see the triune work of God and the triune identity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But specifically in verse 20, we're told to be giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is indicating that the focus of our thanksgiving is constantly to be on God the Father and what he has done and what he has given and what he has called us to and what he has promised in the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that he is and has revealed of himself in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, to understand this exhortation in verse 20 against the backdrop of all the things that Paul has been sharing in chapters 1 to 3 and even in chapter 4 leading up to this, over and over and over again, Paul is passionately emphasizing that these blessings from God come in Christ and they come through Christ. And so understanding that giving thanks is distinctively Christ-centered is to acknowledge that we can't appropriately give thanks to God unless we're trusting his provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're rejoicing in and walking in all that He has given in Christ. Because all of these blessings, all of His care, all of His provision comes to us only and fully through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what breaks this apart from what we might see as many of the generic expressions of thanksgiving. If you walk in the typical Hallmark store or in any other place where cards are sold and there's cards expressing thanks, well, that's great, but is it thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that's the real heart of thankfulness, because again, it's all grounded in the reality of who God is and who He's revealed Himself to be, and again, the blessings and the provision that He's given in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is no true thanksgiving unless you're trusting the greatest gift that God has given in Christ, and the salvation that has been accomplished in Christ and through Christ. Well, this leads then to consider this fifth characteristic, which is really implicit to all of this. And that is that if you're living a thankful life, you understand that giving thanks must be cultivated. It must be cultivated. Again, if you've been born of God, if He has brought you to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a real sense that this thankfulness is an impulsive, natural overflow of the joy of the new life that you've been given in Christ. And yet, given the fact that it's commanded and that these commands are repeated and that there's examples of thankfulness as well as examples of complaining and grumbling, it speaks to us that this must be cultivated. We need to continually grow in being grateful. We need to continually think and live with thankful hearts and thankful minds. And to this end, let me just throw out a few practical ideas. These are by no means exhaustive. You could probably come up with many, many others, but how do you cultivate a lifestyle of thankfulness? How do you cultivate this? Well, in a very broad, general sense, just having a mindset every day that says, I'm going to be thankful to God for everything and in everything all of the time. And I'm going to be thankful because of who God is and what He has done and what He has promised and what He has revealed. And so, regardless of the circumstances, just purposing to do that. This isn't always easy, but when you first wake up, to discipline yourself by the grace of God to be thankful. Thankful for the night's rest that you had. And even if it wasn't that restful of a night, thankful that you at least had an opportunity to be in bed. Thankful to have a bed to be in. Thankful to have a roof over your house or a roof over your head. And on down the line, just purposing to be thankful. When you first wake up and then when you go to bed at the end of the day, to be thankful for the Lord's care and provision and for His forgiveness and whatever other ways you've known His kindness and His care. Obviously, before meals and just cultivating that habit of saying thanks to God for what He's provided. Whether you're at home, whether you're out in public, you don't have to be obnoxious with it, but it's reasonable and appropriate just to be giving thanks and thanking Him for His provision. Obviously, when you drive anywhere, good to give thanks and for His care and His provision. Good to give thanks individually. Good to give thanks corporately, always. And just also another thing I found to just be helpful is to gravitate towards people who are grateful. To gravitate towards people who are grateful, to be influenced by them. And if you're around people who aren't grateful, to be a person who will be influencing them to be grateful. You know, it could even be a great conversation starter, right? You interact with somebody, and rather than just the mundane, kind of meaningless, how's it going? You could say, hey, what are you thankful for today? Or how have you known God's kindness today? What are you thankful for? Could be a great conversation. A great conversation starter. There's many other ways we could think about that. But the key is that there's a mindset in obedience to God and to His Word and to how He has instructed and encouraged us to be thankful, to be thankful. And so as we draw this together, we're reminded again that God deserves all of our thanks all of the time. Always. There's never a time that we're not to be giving thanks to Him. acknowledging, appreciating, submitting to Him as the source and the giver of all things, and demonstrating a right response. And ultimately, beloved, when it comes down to it, this matter of thankfulness before God is a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Trusting that promises such as Romans 8:28, that He works all things together for good to those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose, trusting that that's true and that God does that. And so that even when circumstances are perhaps less than what you might desire, to trust that He is working everything together for good. To trust a promise also like Ephesians 1 verse 11, that He works everything after the counsel of His will, and that He is the one who is sovereign over history, and He is moving everything along His purposes and His will to bring everything under submission to Christ, and that He is going to bring that to fulfillment, and trusting that. It was interesting this week on Tuesday afternoon, as I was studying and praying and preparing these things, late in the afternoon, I get a phone call from my wife, and one of my sons, Jordan, as he was driving back up from Southern California, got in a little fender bender, and he was okay, which I'm grateful for. He's totally fine, and the car wasn't totaled or anything like that. Nobody else was injured, but it was a very immediate point of application, because here I am studying about thankfulness, and of course I'm a dad, and there's responsibilities and finances and all these kinds of things and vehicles and da 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 da. And immediately, it's, am I going to be thankful? Thankful that the Lord is in charge. Thankful that God has a purpose and a plan, and that I can trust Him even in this. And I don't always do it, but by God's grace, He enabled me to do so. And again, it was a rather immediate illustration of this. Well, that's a kind of a mundane thing, and we should pray about those matters, such things as car accidents and others. Those are things we can come to the Lord, and that we should even thank God for His providence in. But there's other situations that can be much more difficult, can't they? Other things that can be much more painful. Many of you, I'm sure, heard the news of what happened in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago, a little less than 3 weeks ago. Pastor Davy Blackburn, his wife, Amanda Grace, tragically was murdered during a home invasion on the morning of Tuesday, November 10th. How do you deal with that kind of situation? How do you give thanks in that kind of situation? This is a young man. He's sharing and planting a church there in Indianapolis. I want to read you a statement that he gave, and I believe this was posted on their church's website the day after his wife was murdered. He says this, quote, "It's impossible to communicate all the emotions my heart has been forced to process. My wife was such a beautiful, gracious, loving woman of God. I've not only lost my ministry partner and support, but also my very best friend. There's no way to prepare yourself for circumstances like these." He says, "As deeply as I am hurting, I am hopeful and confident that good things will come of this. I rest in the truth of Romans 8:28 that God works all things together for good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose." And I saw a Facebook post he made just a few days ago. He just simply said, "I'm really thankful for the hope of heaven in Jesus Christ." You see, it's a matter of faith, brothers and sisters. No doubt you've also heard of the tragic situation at the Planned Parenthood facility in Colorado Springs and the gunman who killed three people. One of those who was killed was a police officer who was also a believer, who was also an elder at his local church. And that family is having to learn to give thanks for all things, even in the midst of such traumatic and overwhelmingly grievous situations. But it's a matter of faith. And that's why we pray for one another, isn't it? That's why we pray for those we don't even know personally, but can be burdened to pray for them because of what the Lord has ordained. And in no way diminishing the grief, and in no way diminishing the difficulty and the trial and the pain, and yet to pray that God would strengthen their faith and strengthen and comfort their souls, that they might yet trust Him and might yet continue to give thanks, even to Him in the midst of such circumstances. I want to close with a story about a city missionary in London. This was many, many years ago, but he was called to an old tenement building where a woman lay dying in the last stages of a terrible disease. The room was cold and she had nowhere to lie but on the floor. And when the missionary asked if there was anything that he could do, she replied, "I have all I really need. I have Jesus Christ." And in response to that, the missionary went home and he wrote this poem. He said this: "In the heart of London City, mid the dwellings of the poor, these bright golden words were uttered, 'I have Christ, what want I more?' They were uttered by a lonely, dying woman stretched upon a garret floor, having not one earthly comfort. 'I have Christ, what want I more?' He who heard them ran to fetch her something from this world's great store. It was needless, died, she saying, 'I have Christ, what want I more?' But her words will live forever, I repeat them o'er and o'er. God delights to hear me say, 'I have Christ, what want I more?' Oh, my dear, my fellow sinners, high and low and rich and poor, can you say with deep thanksgiving, 'I have Christ, what want I more?'" Lead us in prayer. Oh, Father, who can measure the greatness of the blessings that you have given in the Lord Jesus Christ? And to know that if you have given us him, if you have brought us to repent of our sins, to trust in him and the full adequacy and sufficiency of all of your provision in him, that if we have him, we have enough. And what more could we ever want? And Lord, how much more of all people should those who belong to you through your mercies in Christ be those who are distinctively marked by gratitude and by thankfulness? And Lord, we are grateful for your mercies, and we pray that you would help us to be those who are overflowing with gratitude, even as that sometimes is expressed through tears and through grief, yet to be grateful that you indeed are sovereign and that you have given us the greatest of all gifts, and that there is nothing more that we ever really need or should desire. Help us, God, to live with such gratitude that you might be glorified and magnified, that others might come to the saving knowledge of Christ, and those already in you would be built up. We thank you for your mercy and for the time, even today, in Christ's name. Amen.